Blog Talk Radio.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Lydia, your lighthouse of love on Time to Love. Yes, I'm here to guide and motivate and also to teach, hopefully, you. And today is all about teaching. I have a lot to say today, and the theme of the day is love warrior, being a love warrior. When I picked that particular couple of words, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to be talking about. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks on Monday. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know what got into me, except it must have been the love warrior. Now, you guys know me. I'm sweetness and light and loving and want to teach you all to love yourselves more, but I think there is a time to be a warrior in your life for certain reasons. You know, I was a warrior for my child. I'm a warrior for the things that I believe in, and I do it hopefully in a loving way. But today, I do want to warn you that if you have small children in the room, I am a little bit riled, and I may, you know, say something inappropriate or say something maybe a little scary in nature. So I would appreciate if you just either listen to me in the archives or, you know, get them out of the room because, you know, I don't want to scare little kids. That's not my thing. But I want you all to know that I love myself and I love the body that I am in and I love the planet. I love it fiercely. It's the most amazing planet and the most amazing body. Yeah, I mean, I don't even have to tell it what to do, and it just does it. And I'm in awe of it most times. And so I started thinking about this love warrior thing. And, you know, there are three things that we need to live. We need air, we need water, and we need food. Now, I believe that all three things are under attack, folks. And this isn't a political statement at all. I think across the board, our leaders have failed us because things are under attack. And I'll probably go through at least one of those things today. And I'm going to start out with talking about GMOs. Genetically modified organisms. Now, there are people who have argued with me, oh, GMOs, that's been going on forever. Yeah, well, not with what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about hybridizing, mixing two plants and getting something else. I'm talking about actually taking genes and putting them into a seed. It doesn't sound too scary. It really doesn't, unless the gene that they are putting into the seed makes the plant oblivious to heavy-duty pesticides. Roundup. Roundup, folks. You might have some in your garage. You might have some in your basement. You might have some where you keep your heavy-duty fertilizers. And maybe you love Roundup. Roundup is made by the same company that brought us Agent Orange. Okay? Some of you may be young. You don't know what Agent Orange is. Now, some of you may be young, and you happen to have a father who fought in the Vietnam War. Well, ask him what Agent Orange is if he happens to still be around. It is, Agent Orange was completely safe, they told us. It was completely safe. The same company who made us convinced us it was perfectly safe, not based on independent testing, but based on what they said, their own testing. How well did they test it? Why wasn't there an independent test? But they sprayed it all over the jungles in Vietnam. It helped to fight the war because the jungles were so thick. It was not defloculant, but it helped kill the vegetation. And very, very toxic. In fact, I personally had two friends that got cancers, and they did finally, the VA attribute it to Agent and their direct contact with Agent Orange. One man actually, you know, great sport. I'll tell you, our vets are some of the most amazing people on the planet. They get subjected to a whole lot, things that if you are not a soldier, if you've never fought in a war, you have no idea about. But my one friend, he told me that he had to get his butt rebuilt. I'll be nice. He had a complete, they had to take down layers and layers of skin. They had to rebuild his derriere because of the Agent Orange eating into him. And Marty was not a well man, but he, of course, did it with great style and humor. That's humor will get you through just about anything. And he told his wife that she had the most, that she got to experience the most expensive piece of A in town, yeah, because he had many, many, many operations. So Agent Orange, bad, 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 bad. Now we have Monsanto that is the same company, and it is making these seeds that are Roundup ready, meaning you can plant them and you'll never have any kind of insect on them, or the weeds around them will not grow because they are, you can spray all the Roundup you want on the plant. So that makes really good sense, doesn't it? Yeah, the plants that we're going to eat, yeah, spray the bejesus out of them with insecticides. Yeah, that's really good. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, I know people that don't wash their plants that they buy in the store a whole lot, and they're not buying organic. Yeah, so are they eating that stuff? Most likely. I would say if you're not buying organic, please wash your veggies and fruit really well. But here's the other problem. You know, Monsanto sold many, many, many countries and people. Oh, our seeds are the best. They're Roundup ready. You can spray all these chemicals on them. It's not going to kill the plant. You're going to get these amazing vegetables. You're going to get higher yields. It's going to be able to withstand a whole lot. Now, I saw a video a long time ago about Monsanto, and it scared me, frankly, very much so, because these seeds are also Terminator seeds. Now, Terminator seed, it's the Terminator. Yeah. Now, it means that you use these seeds one time only. Yeah, you know, the plants will have seeds, but you can plant them, but they will never bear fruit. They will never bear vegetables, fruit, nothing. They'll look pretty, but they won't do anything. But here's the problem with these seeds, besides that they're Terminator seeds. They're expensive. They're very expensive, and Monsanto has sold them to third world countries. In India, you know, they have great PR. They have absolutely amazing PR. And so they, you know, probably had the lights and, you know, and fancy stuff to give away. And they told these farmers, this is the way to go. You will never lose another crop again. And for only this amount of money, you can have our seeds. Well, these are mostly just little farms, poor farmers, barely getting by, living on the land. That's their daddies did it, their daddies before them. You know, the land is passed down. And like I said, they're not big agricultural, corporations. These are small farmers. And because the seeds were expensive, well, let me back up just one second. Most farmers, small farmers, they will harvest their seeds. And then some of them do it the old-fashioned way, you know, throwing the seeds in the bag. But there is like grain places that will clean your seeds. And they will clean your seeds and then give you, so they'll clean out all the debris and the dirt and then give you back the seeds. And then you'll, and it's a small cost, then you'll have them for the following year to plant. But Monsanto came along and said, buy these seeds. And they were expensive for these poor farmers. So many poor farmers in India, especially, they ended up taking out loans. Now, in India, it is a different country, and they don't have banks that are going to give loans to poor little farmers. So they have, in essence, a loan shark that will say, I will give you the money, and you will pay me, you know, some ungodly percentage. We're not talking 3%. We're not talking 10%. More like I've heard upwards of 30%, you know, on what they borrowed. But, you know, these seeds are going to be great. Aren't they going to be great? They're going to be so great. They're going to have the best crops ever. Okay, so the farmers bought into this whole PR campaign. They bought the seeds, and then some of the farmers experienced a terrible year. Yeah, their plants didn't have insect problems or weed problems, but they might have had a drought. So they, and these Roundup seeds don't protect them against drought, and so they lost everything. And because the loan sharks were at their door probably asking for one of their legs or their kidneys, they ended up losing their farms. And these farmers, in great numbers, then move to the city. And I'm telling you, these are farmers. These are farmers that farm because that's what they know. That's what they've always known. Their daddy before that, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, everybody in their family have been farmers. And they move to big cities, and they're very depressed. And the big cities don't necessarily have jobs there either. And many of these farmers are committing suicide. Also, the video that I saw about Monsanto, there's a lot of them if you Google it. I did put a couple links on my page when you go to it. And Mexico, there was a few holdouts that decided they weren't going to buy their PR campaign. They did not want anything to do with Monsanto, their expensive seeds, their Terminator seeds, and also their heavy-duty Roundup chemicals. Oh, yeah, isn't it convenient that they sell you the seeds, and guess what else? They sell you the chemicals. I think that's amazing. That's great marketing, really, folks. But it's also deadly marketing. And so there was one farmer that they interviewed, and he was surrounded by Monsanto farms where they did buy the Monsanto seeds, and they were spraying the heavy-duty Roundup pesticide. And one man, you know, they don't have a lot of roads in a lot of these rural places in Mexico, and his one man who didn't want to be connected with Monsanto, he actually had two children, and they had to walk through the fields of other people's farms to get to the road. And they came home after a few weeks of doing this with burns on their legs, rashes, because they also don't have shoes, or, you know, they might only have shorts. It's warm in Mexico, and they actually got burned from the pesticide use from Mexico. We get a lot of our food in Mexico. Yeah, just, you know, in the dead of winter when You know, we're not growing too much in the United States, maybe on the West Coast and down south in Florida. We're getting a lot of our vegetables and fruit from Mexico. So that's something to think about. But this time, when I was going to do the show, I decided to look up, you know, some information about GMOs, and I found a new hero. He's a Canadian farmer named Percy Schmeiser. If you look up GMOs and you look up Canadian farmer, that's who pops up. Percy Schmeiser, and he is 70 years old. Gosh almighty, he looks about 40. He is an amazing looking man, and he had a canola farm. And up in Canada, I've been up there. There's beautiful, beautiful canola farms. You just go there at the right time, and you just see fields of yellow flowers, and that's canola. And Percy actually did not use Monsanto seeds, but a majority of farmers in Canada the canola farmers have actually bought Monsanto seeds and bought the pesticide Roundup for those seeds. And Percy didn't do it, but unbeknownst to him, there were a few plants on his property line that actually probably seed from a neighboring farm blew into his farm. And Monsanto is they're not very ethical. They're pretty, pretty ruthless. And they dug up some of the plants that were right properly lined without asking him. And all of a sudden, Percy was facing charges of stealing their plants. Yeah, stealing them, because they knew that Percy had not bought the GMO seeds, their seeds. And he hadn't, because he'd been a canola farmer for many years and had actually worked hybridizing, which is different than GMOs, and hybridizing his seeds and getting an amazing crop. He was very happy with that. He didn't have to spray pesticides like so many of the farmers. And anyway, so a court ruled, this was 1996, and the court ruled that he owed the profits from all of his crops that year to Monsanto. Well, you know, he's a smart man, and luckily he had a trust fund. I don't know, passed down to him from families, I'm sure. And he had a trust fund. It was quite healthy. He had money in the bank, so to speak, and he decided he was going to fight it. And they went to the next court up, which I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with Canadian law. It's a little different than ours, but similar. He went to the next court up, and they ruled, no, you owe them all your profits from 1996 crop, and you also, all of the plants on your farm are now Monsanto's, because once these seeds blow into your farm, you're not getting rid of them, folks. They take over, or they cross-pollinate with what's there. So you're always going to have that. So you're not allowed to use the seeds or plants again. Percy called them Frankenstein. He said they created a Frankenstein. Roundup Ready GMO canola seeds, they have not gone through much testing at all. Now, Monsanto, they actually have done the testing. Yeah. So they use, you know, to convince the Canadian government that this is safe, they used Monsanto's testing. Same in the United States. Yes. In fact, if you look it up, it's really quite scary, folks, that Monsanto has infiltrated from people that are on the board, the president, the vice president, I think it's the vice president of the board. They are actually now in the government. They're working in the government. In fact, one big honcho of Monsanto is head of the F-Clever. These people are freaking diabolical. they've covered all their freaking bases. Like they said, you know, they got the expensive seed that you got to buy every year. You can't clean it. You can't reuse it. Oh, and not only that, they actually have their farmers sign big, heavy-duty contracts, contracts that say they must buy seeds from Monsanto, they must buy the chemicals from Monsanto, and they can never reuse their seeds ever again, ever again. They also have to pay a percentage of the profits from their crop to Monsanto. I don't think it, oh, it's it goes by the hectare. Percy was talking about his farm, and instead of acres, he was saying hectare. So I'm assuming it might be close to an acre, but I'm not 100% positive. And, yeah, you have to pay, I think it's $40 a hectare. Well, Percy had quite a few hectares, quite a lot of hectares. I want to say 400, but it might have been 4,000 hectares. Yeah. So anyway, but Percy persevered. Maybe that's why he was named Percy. That would have been clever, but no, Percy really did persevere. He said, I'm not going to take this. And the more he delved into Monsanto and its practices, the angrier he became. And sometimes anger helps you fight, folks. So it's not all bad. It's very motivating. Now, Percy actually fought Monsanto from, I believe it was 1996 to, I'm sorry, I got to look through my notes, 2000-something. And if you look up the laws, if you look up laws about GMOs, always it's Percy Schmeiser because he fought Monsanto, and he took it to the highest court in Canada, and thank God that they were not all bought off. At this point, they're saying that Percy has to pay, it was close to $400,000 that he was going to owe Monsanto. Two courts said this. Well, the first court said it, the second court upheld it. Then, this is very interesting too, and this is some of the ruthless practices that they have, and you wonder why they have to be ruthless. You know, I mean, does this make sense to anyone? And if it does, I'm inviting you to call me and rant with me or rail against me. That's fine, too. I'm not that knowledgeable, but I do have a lot of passion. The number to call is 646-727-2914. If I see that you want to come on the air, I will just say your area code and ask your first name, and then we can talk. I appreciate calls because that will give me more for the whole hour. Okay, so also Percy filed a countersuit. Here's one of the ruthless things. I mean, the dirty dog lying in the freaking mud things that Monsanto did to this man. He had a trust fund with the Canadian Imperial, and it had more names, bank. And they called him up and they said, we have to close your trust. And he's like, why? And he's like, he has kept asking why. Why do you have to close my trust? What's going on? And finally, he got someone who told him, well, Monsanto was saying that they are going to pull all their money from all the Canadian Imperial such and such and such banks. Yeah, dirty. But he kept his money there. I think that once they were found out, maybe somebody ethical on the board of the bank said, no, forget this. Let them pull their money. You know, I don't know. But anyway, they also, this is another thing they did. They hired people to spy on the Schmeisers. They not only spied in their fields, they spied on their home. They scared the bejesus out of the poor wife. The wife would go out to the fields to give lunches to her husband and the helpers, and they were spying, constantly spying on him. They also, one of their practices is to tell the farmers who probably are indebted to them up to the gills because of, you know, they've signed these contracts, to tell them absolutely report anyone that they think might have some seeds blown into them, into their fields. You know, they might not even know this. They might not even know that these seeds are there. And then they come, probably in the dark of night because Percy never saw them, and they dig up plants and they test them. Isn't that clever? They also, when they went to court that first time, they had all these plants that they said, and they guesstimated that, you know, more than, you know, 30% of the plants were their Monsanto seeds, which was a lie. And they didn't do any, and the court went along with Monsanto because they're giants, folks. They are a mega corporation, and they don't care about people. They really and truly don't. And it has been proven. Percy said that he actually now talks all over the world. He's not only my personal idol, but he is a lot of people's idol, and he talks about the dangers of these seeds because once they're here, once a country allows them in, you can't just get rid of them. It actually takes generations to get rid of these plants, and it's just very frightening. It's very frightening that a company really wants to own our food. And what happens when farmers can't fight? There have been farmers that have lost their farms in the U.S. and Canada that they had to throw the towel in. They didn't have that trust fund that Percy had to be able to pay lawyers to fight for them. They just threw in the towel and they left their farms. And guess who takes over them? A big corporation, a big agricultural corporation. You know, they're getting the land. The small farmers are really a thing of the past. And, you know, God bless Willie Nelson, who does Farm Aid every year. You know, he puts on these concerts so that farmers don't lose their farms, because most farmers are about one bad crop away from going under. This is serious, folks. This is our food. Now, I have a brother-in-law that has an organic farm, and he has children come out to his farm, and they ask questions, and he'll say to them, "Hey, kids, do you guys know where your vegetables come from?" And most of them say, "The store, the grocery store." Yeah, because they don't know really where their food comes from. You know, they get it frozen, they go to the grocery store, you know, hopefully they're going to the farmer's markets because maybe they'll learn some things. But another thing that he's told me that has blown me away is that he'll tell one of them to pull up a carrot, you know, take the top of a carrot. Many children have never seen a top of a carrot, you know, the big, green, leafy, yummy stuff. In fact, when I'm juicing my carrots, I will just throw the greens in with the whole carrot, filled with a lot of vitamins. And the kids don't know. And then when they pull the carrot out of the ground, and yes, there is a little dirt that sticks to that carrot, they are abhorred. They are freaked out because it has dirt on it. What are we doing to our kids that we're not teaching them this? This might be some information they might have to use at some point in their lives. And I am so happy to see community gardens springing up. Even in big cities like Chicago and New York and L.A., there are community gardens. They'll take an empty lot, and they will ask the person who owns the empty lot if they can have a community garden. They might have a community garden that is there till they sell the lot, or, you know, maybe they pass on and then the kids or the heirs will sell the empty lot. But at least they have it for a while. Some of them might lease the lot from them for a little bit of money. In Boulder, we have an amazing community garden called Growing Gardens. And there is a farm near there called Long's Gardens. And Long's Gardens, their family, I don't know how far they go back, but their house looks pretty old. I would say hundreds of years. But they actually grow irises. And they, if you're an iris person, aficionado, you probably know of Long's Gardens in Boulder. But they had this amazing acreage, and they kept some for their irises, but they lease, I don't know how many acres it is, I'm sorry, folks, but it's a lot. They lease their acres to the city of Boulder for $1 a year, and I believe we have a hundred-year lease on that land. So I have been a member for 5 years now, and I truly love it. I love growing vegetables, and whenever kids come out, I will let them pick things, you know, and take it home, whatever. Sometimes the kids are playing around in the gardens, laughing and screaming. I love that. And, you know, and I'll say, hey, come over here. Come over here. I'll say, what do you know about gardens? And some of them don't know much. And I'll let them maybe pick a carrot or cut some lettuce or some spinach. I have a raspberry bush, and they absolutely love that. But, okay. Getting back to Percy, he was intimidated, and his wife and Percy really, they felt this. They felt the intimidation. They were scared. There were many nights they lost a lot of sleep. The wife said she worried quite a lot, and when she was really worried and down, by her words, Percy would pick her up. And he would say, oh, honey, and probably joke with her. They've been married for a long time. And when he was down, which he said was not too often, or at least you know how those men are. They play really strong. But when he would be down, noticeably down, she would pick him up. So they had each other, and he had his trust fund to fight Monsanto. And he ended up, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that, no, he did not have to pay the money, and Monsanto should just leave him alone. And in 2001, he had, I think it was 2001, I'm sorry, my notes, I was just jotting this down as I was watching the movie. But anyway, he had, you know, plants taken away illegally. Oh, I know, he ended up switching from canola. He feels that the canola crop in Canada is very compromised. I think were his words. He might have been a little bit stronger with that, but he ended up growing other things. He's not growing canola anymore. He does not want to deal with Monsanto anymore. And so he started growing something else, but he went along his property line. And in the movie, you can see it, and there was a couple of canola plants, and he said that he knew that they were Monsanto because he tried to spray them because it's right around his property line, and they thrived. They were not, you know, they didn't get affected by Roundup or any kind of pesticide, so he knew they were them. So he called up Monsanto, and he said that you need to come and get your plants. I don't own them. You own them, and I want you to come get them. And they said, no, we're not coming to get them. And so he ended up saying, well, then, if you're not going to get them, I am going to have a third party get rid of them, and you will get the bill for them. And it didn't amount to much. It was about $400. And they balked at paying it, but the court said, no, you've got to pay them. Yeah. So that's, he's been really fighting them. He, you know, if there was a folk singer that could sing about Monsanto, I'm sure that Percy Schmeiser would be the hero of the folk song for sure. Yeah. Indiana, and also in this movie, they talked about Indiana and a man named David Runyon. He actually had, he grew soy, corn, and wheat. And, yeah, and his crops were contaminated by Monsanto. And he ended up, and a lot of farmers, in order to keep their farms, they want to fight. If they want to give a fight, then Monsanto will settle with them. But one of the things that they say is they cannot talk about it. They can't, you know, they can't do talks like Percy. They can't go educate people about the evils of Monsanto. And so that's, you know, that's just one more thing that they do, which is really, really bad. But David Runyon in Indiana, he actually ended up talking about it, even though he had signed the contract. So far they haven't thrown him in jail, but I'm sure they're working on it. And he feels that they have destroyed the social fabric of the farming communities because it has turned farmers against farmers. You know, when farmers are frightened that they're going to be turned in because a few seeds blew into their crop, that destroys the social fabric. Now, this is a very – farming communities are very social. You guys have seen the movies. You guys have seen Little House on the Big Prairie. I can't think of anything else. But, you know, these are communities where when somebody needs help, they help each other. And, of course, they're small communities. They all know each other's business. But this also makes it ripe for the evil Monsanto to say, hey, you know, and I'm sure they give them something. Maybe they give them a couple seeds, you know. But, you know, they have them turning in their neighbors. And it really has destroyed the social fabric. And you're not innocent until proven guilty. That's criminal law. You know, with the other kind of law, there is, you have to prove that you're innocent. What kind of company does this? I am really reticent to say the word evil, but I will say it, evil. They want to control the seed supply. I know if you live in a big city, maybe you're not concerned. Maybe every time you go to the grocery store, there's something for you to buy. You don't even think about where it comes from, what it is, nothing. I talk to many people, and they're like, what's Monsanto? What's the big deal? What's the big deal about GMOs? They just don't get it. And Monsanto is really, really big in this. They also, the Japanese have done quite a bit of testing. Monsanto did its own testing, said, yeah, it's safe. And the Japanese did their own testing, and they said that it's not as good, and you can see the long-range health effects, allergens and other things that are cropping up. And it doesn't do the incredible yield that they claim it does. You know, it's so funny that, you know, we listen to companies that say, oh, ours is the best product on the market. And yeah, well, who says it? Well, we do. I mean, does that make sense? I'm here to tell you, I am the best woman on the planet. I know, you know, but hey, I did my testing and I came up to be the absolute best, you know, and no, it doesn't work that way, folks. We need to have things tested. The other concern I have, if it's so good for us, why is there no labeling? Why are they so against labeling? Why did they put millions of dollars against labeling? Well, one reason, and I'm going to be fair, is that it's really hard to distinguish all of this. Like I said, a genetically modified organism can go by the air and get into a completely organic farm. You know, I'm sure they are on the lookout for this. So it is, that's one of the bad things. And you know, we have a genetic heritage of seeds, and it's important, folks, and they're stealing it. And I don't think they have the right to this. This is a basic human right to be able to have food, to be able to grow food, not tell someone that, you know, you own the seed just because it blew in. That happens. We got hollyhocks in our garden. I'm like, oh, the guy about three plots down to the east and one plot over have hollyhocks. Now we have hollyhocks. Seeds can really, in a windy place, they can go miles and go into someone's garden. So, you know, what I'm saying is if it's also good for us and everything, why don't they label it? Why are they sinking so much money into these laws? There's places that want labeling, and they fight it really hard. I gotta give props to Portland. Woo-hoo. They are so progressive. I should move there, except I need more sun, I think. But they will, they actually just got passed a labeling law. And so it's starting, folks. It's starting, but it doesn't start because I want it to. It doesn't, you know, in Portland, I bet they had boots to the ground. I bet they had hundreds of thousands of people who said, who went around and educated people and talked to people and said, sign our petition. Let's get this on the ballot. What are they afraid of? All of this stuff. And then they passed it. Now, in Boulder, they are they're trying to do a petition or something to be on the next ballot. It's either label. I think it's labeling. But also, I was pretty aghast to hear that in Boulder, we have all this open space, and it's wonderful, and there's trails through all the open space, and you can bike, and you can walk, and you can hike, and it's absolutely beautiful here. But on some of the open space, we allow farmers to lease the land, and they still have to let us walk, you know, on the paths and stuff. But, yeah, they lease the land, and I was just shocked to know that we can, they can grow GMO seeds, sugar beets. That's a big GMO product. That's a big crop for GMOs, and they do that. And corn, is big, and soy is big. Yes, and like I said, Japanese have found it fraudulent, and you know. People, just don't listen to me, but I'm going to tell you some of the health effects from Roundup. It's a glyphosate. I think I'm saying that right. And a glyphosate does tissue damage, bloody vomiting, cardiac arrhythmia, and pulmonary edema with direct contact or ingestion. This isn't a it's not a laughing matter. It's serious. And, okay, maybe you got one foot in the grave already, you know, maybe you're over 50. I'm kidding. But, you know, maybe it doesn't matter to you. Maybe you're like, I grew up with this stuff, or you really didn't because GMOs just started in the 90s. But, you know, maybe it's okay in your book. Maybe you have never had a health effect or anything, and, you know, it's like, what are you all up in arms about? Well, if you have children, if you have nieces or nephews, if you have grandchildren, think about them. Think about what the world is going to be like when they have to sell a kidney for a year's worth of grain or vegetables. You know, it's ridiculous to have a company own the rights to seeds. You know, and okay, if it's their seeds, fine, but not really fine because GMOs, as we say, will cross-pollinate. You know, that if once they cross-pollinate, Percy was saying it takes generations to get rid of them. So this is a Frankenstein that we have allowed to be created, and we're accepting this. And I know many people who are working several jobs, and they don't have time to think about such things. And when they get home, they're so bone-weary, all they could do is possibly a load of laundry or fix some dinner and crash because they work two, and some of them work three jobs. You know, what is going on, people? That's what I want to ask you. And if you're not going to fight for this life for yourself, fight for your children and their children. And if you've decided not to have children, kudos to you, because I think more people need to decide that because they're not very good parents, or they know they couldn't be good parents. It's the hardest job I've ever done. So, you know, that's fine, but you know that at some point in your life, you might need someone to care for you. And that's going to be someone's child. And don't you want them healthy? Don't you want them to be able to continue on with their life? You know, when you love yourself, it just absolutely crosses over to other people. And when I think of the world we are leaving to those other people and to our children, it breaks my heart. It absolutely breaks my heart that we're all not up in arms about this stuff. GMOs, that's just one thing. I also mentioned Fukushima. Yeah, Fukushima, out of sight, out of mind. You know, it happened. We know it happened. We stared in horror at the pictures of the radiation leaking into the ocean. Remember, they couldn't get that plugged up. And then all of a sudden, where's Fukushima in the news? Can you find it? Boy, they hush-hushed that one. And for a little while, our leaders on both sides of the fence were going, yeah, nuclear, we got to do nuclear. We have to do it. It's important. We're going to have to do it. If you want hot water, you got to have nuclear. Now, I like hot water as much as the next person. Geez, I thank God every time I'm in the hot shower because it feels so great, doesn't it? I love it. But, folks, there has to be something else. There has to be another way. And we have great minds, and they are thinking of these things, but they're shut down, or their patents are bought up by companies, and they want to get the last nickel's worth of oil and energy they can at exorbitant prices that we pay for. Yeah, the last nickel's worth of energy is not going to be a nickel to us, folks. Going to be a whole lot more. And, you know, radiation doesn't just disappear, doesn't float off into the ethers and, you know, and just completely disappear. It's here to stay. You know, I don't even think they know how long. I know it's hundreds and hundreds of years. And you got to store the waste somewhere. So it's not a viable energy. Get out of that mindset and hold people accountable. Hold them accountable, folks. Same with fracking. I read the most hilarious thing, if it wasn't so sad, really, at the bottom of it, but it was hilarious. A man who was a big CEO of a fracking company, he was like, fracking, yeah, yay, fracking. Well, then all of a sudden, someone wanted to frack through his ranch, and he's fighting them. He's fighting them because he doesn't want it on their land. And I'll bet you money that these people who want the nukes don't want them built in their backyard. I don't want them. I don't want anything to do with them. Hey, I live upwind, thank God, in Boulder from Rocky Flats nuclear facility, where during the war, they made plutonium triggers. We finally got that shut down, finally. I think it was late 80s, 90s. But I wouldn't want to go on that land. I went on it once to protest, and believe me, my first thought, it was such a bad vibe around the place. I didn't smell anything, but my feeling was so weird that I was just, I thought if I had a child or if I was pregnant, I wouldn't even walk on here to protest. I just wouldn't do it. And as we were protesting, the funny thing was, well, not funny at all, the workers were like, you know, they were mad at us for protesting. We got in their way. You know, we caused probably a day where they had less production, and they were not happy. They're like, these are good jobs. We want these jobs. And I understand, folks, but, you know, don't we have minds to create energy and jobs that are healthy for the environment? Why all these jobs that are going to ruin the environment and also cause the workers their health? In fact, years later, this was in the 70s when I protested. Years later, I moved to Boulder, and I met a woman, awesome woman, and her husband had worked in for Rocky Flats. And we had a good talk, and she said, oh, yeah, my husband was fit to be tied when the protesters came. They came several times. I was there once. And he was mad. He was mad at them because it was a great paying job. Well, that man got, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting. It's the lung disease. That's the long name, isothelioma or something like that. And it was because of working for Rocky Flats. And he tried suing, and he couldn't. They did a class action suit, and they blew him off. the, you know, Rocky Flats won. They lawyered up and they won. And that's what these big companies do. That's what Monsanto does. They lawyer up. They hire people to spy on people who just happen to have a few seeds blown in. That is unconscionable, folks. That I'm going back to Monsanto again, but I'm sorry. Can you make sense of it? I can't make sense of this. I can't make sense that we've allowed it. But some of the reason we've allowed it, like I said, is because we're too tired to fight. We just go home and we just want to be home. We just want to sit for a few moments, zone out in front of the television. And we just don't have it in us to do anything about it. And that is what they're counting on. That is what they're counting on. They're counting on us not being able to stand up, open out, walk to the window, open it up, and say, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I know. I stole that from Network. I love that movie. If you've never seen it, Google it. Google Network, and that's one of the first video clips that come up. Is it Alec Bolt? I forget his name. I know Brenda knows. But anyway, he's railing against what's going on in the country. And that was in the 70s, late 70s, 80s. Do you remember the China Syndrome? Yeah, that was about Three Mile Island that had an accident with their nuclear power plant. That was the one in the United States. But since then, there's been many, many situations around the world. And Fukushima hasn't gone away. I don't want to scare you, but if you have the stomach for it, watch some videos. And if you don't have the stomach for that, do some reading, folks. Fukushima is, we didn't just put a metal barrier in the ocean and stopped the radiation from coming this way. No, it goes into the plants in the ocean. It goes into the fish in the ocean. And the fish swim a little farther every year. And it's here. Yeah. And there are some fish that are highly radiated. They're in California along the West Coast. Yeah, it has come here. So I don't mean to be doom and gloom, and that's another thing. You know, we've got so much going on, and you're just struggling to pay bills, some of us, and you just don't have it in you to think about how sucky it is on the planet right now and what's happening. But if we remain asleep, then these giants, these mega corporations with all the money in the world and all the power, because now they are in our government, they're going to have a field day. That's their jobs. They got the jobs, and they get the big old bucks. They can go home, and they can relax. I don't know how they live. I just don't know how they live, because who in the heck owns life? And we need three things to live, folks. We need our air, our water, and our food. It's very important. Maybe you're eating a lot of processed food. Maybe you don't like vegetables. Well, I got news for you. If you're eating processed food, you're eating a lot of corn. Even if it doesn't say it has corn, it has high fructose corn syrup. How do you think that's made? It's made. The reason it's got corn in the name is because it's made from corn. Almost all of your processed food now has soy in it. Yeah. So if it doesn't have corn, it's got soy in it. They're sneaking it in every way they can, and this is going to affect us. I worked for a company, and we had tours, and the tours would come through, and I bet five times a day when I worked, people were asking for, do you have anything non-gluten? And these were not people from Boulder. I expect that from Boulder, because you have to sign a contract that you're gluten-free if you live in Boulder. Just kidding, just kidding. No, but we are a bunch of granola heads. And there's probably a high amount of gluten-free people here. But I had people from Iowa. I had people from Arkansas. I had people from all around this country asking for gluten-free products. And I would get to talking to them because I have had a severe allergy. At the age of 55, never having an allergy, I used to call myself garbage gut because I never even got gas very much. You know, I mean, I could eat anything. I didn't get sick. I mean, you know, it was not the best thing in the world. But I could eat anything and withstand it. And all of a sudden, I get this rash on my neck that was absolutely like poison ivy. In fact, I would lay in bed at night and think to myself, did I touch poison ivy? It was in the springtime when it first reared up. It was like June, late May, early June. And I'd think that literally, I thought it could be poison ivy, but it didn't. It wasn't the same. It wasn't weepy, but it was red and it was angry and it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. And I got to the bottom of it, and it was gluten, it was soy, it was a few other things, but it was a food sensitivity. It wasn't a full-blooded allergy, except when I overdose on it. If I eat tons of gluten, like too much. If I have toast for bagel for breakfast, a sandwich for lunch, and a biscuit for dinner, I just get a little bit itchy. Yeah, but if I stay away from it, I'm fine. So, and there's some other things, like I said. So I just have to be careful. But I'm not the only one. You probably have, you know, a daughter-in-law, and she's like, I can't eat gluten. And you're thinking, oh, man, is she a wuss, you know. But really, it is a reality, and I wouldn't have thought so. I knew people that were chemically sensitive before and food sensitive, and I kind of secretly thought they were wussy or being picky or weird or something like that. But then it happened to me. You don't want it happening to you, folks. It's not fun. Yeah, and I really encourage all of you to become more aware. Talk with people about it. Yeah, I saw a really good video. It was really well done, and it was a young girl, and she's the nerdy scientist or something like that. And she's like, well, my scientist, and she had a guy who was a scientist, and he worked in, guess what, the GMO field. And he's like, well, you know, it's been going on for a long time, and, you know, not talking about these Roundup Ready seeds, not talking about that. No, I'm all for science. I'm all for advancement. But this is the advancement of a company, not the advancement of a species. Who owns life, people? Who should own life? Certainly not a company that will sell you a seed and also sell you the pesticides that have so many side effects. Yeah, if it's so safe, you drink it. Go ahead. I'd like to see them. I bet they don't even eat stuff that they think might be a GMO. Yeah. And, you know, or they've got people like my friend's husband that works for Rocky Flats who thought it was completely safe until he got, oh, it's called mesothelioma. I thought of it. Mesothelioma. And he couldn't breathe and he had to be on oxygen 24/7. And he was a fairly young man when he got it. Don't know if he's still alive or not. I hope he is. Jim is awesome. You know, but he wasn't told the truth. We're not told the truth about this stuff. So wake up. Wake up. Start going to the farmer's market at the very least. Start talking to farmers, people on the cutting edge who are working their tails off to give you good food. Does it cost more? Oh, yeah, it does cost more. Believe me, I know. And food costs a lot right now. You know, it's just really ridiculous, folks. But until we speak up, until we really get off the couch and start fighting this like our lives depended on it, or our children's lives or our grandchildren's life and their children's life depend on it, nothing's going to be done. I sign petitions. I'm doing this show. I try to educate. I really want to encourage you all to educate yourselves. And don't just take it from one source. Don't just take it from me, you know. And if I'm full of it, please, you know, email me. Friend me on Facebook. Go to our website, Time to Love, and you know, send me something. You know, if you're just going to call me names, forget it. you know, but I am trying to educate myself more about this because it is important. You know, the homeless is one thing, and I feel for the homeless because they're not lazy and they don't expect a handout. But we don't, as proved by so many of the homeless, you don't have to have a home to live, but you do have to have food, water, and air, and what is happening. Also, you know, I didn't even touch on this. Everybody uses the Roundup when they have this Roundup ready seed. And, oh, does Roundup just disappear? Does it not go in the soil when they water and when it rains? Where is that insect, that pesticide going? Where's it going, folks? Is it just disappearing magically? Do the pesticides fairies come along and wave their magic wands and it's all good? No. It goes to the nearest creek, stream, sewer, and it becomes the water we drink or bathe in. Yes, it's something to think about, folks, something to really ponder. And like I said, please do your homework. Please think about this. I didn't even touch on fracking too much, but I could probably do a whole show, but I don't know if I can get that riled. You guys know that, like, now I'm going to have to meditate and say om and chant, like, for the rest of the day to get back into a more balanced, peaceful state because I am riled up. And if I riled up one person, then I'm glad because I want you to rile up your neighbor who's spraying Roundup like no tomorrow. Educate him. You know, I've got a few dandelions in my yard. They look nice. You know, kids love dandelions. They pick them and they hand them to their mommy or their daddy, and they're so proud. They're such beautiful little flowers. And, okay, you might not want the whole lawn dandelions. But I have not used a pesticide on my lawn for 28 years. And I have just a few dandelions, and sometimes I get in there and I try and dig them up. But I also use other practices. I try to do health. I try to have a healthy lawn by using an organic fertilizer and also doing aeration and all that, and because things are so healthy in the lawn, it kills out the weeds. And, you know, a few little dandelions, they're fine. And if you don't spray, you can actually pick the leaves of the dandelions and throw them in your salad. But you wouldn't want to do that if you are spraying or using Scott's Turf Builder. You know, things with pesticides, things with different agents in there that are very, very unhealthy, chemicals. You don't want to do that. And one more thing, talking about just really quickly, pesticides on our lawns. I've had two dogs die of mouth cancer. And the vet told me, you know, because I'm like, okay, I buy them the best food possible. I mean, you know, what can I do? You know, when the second one got it too, I'm like, this is really, really strange. And he said something to me that stuck with me. And one of the reasons I will never use a pesticide on my lawn, I'll dig that sucker right up before I use a pesticide on it. And that is that dogs are, they're always smelling. And you walk them and they're smelling everybody's lawn. And so they're getting a full force hit of pesticide if you're using it right in their little noses. And so maybe you don't like kids all that much. You know, there's a few I might not like either, but I'm kidding. But, you know, most of us love our animals and we love our dogs and we love our cats, and they're out there and they've got their nose to the ground. And small children too. One of the reasons I decided never using pesticides, even more so, was when my son came along. He's short. He was not anymore. He's tall now, but he was short. He was close to grass, and, you know, he'd sit on the grass, and he'd pull up the grass, and then he'd stick his fingers in his mouth. I mean, you don't want to use that stuff, folks. There's alternatives. Get educated. Figure it out. Start demanding on your ballots, or at least sign it. When someone's standing in front of the grocery store begging people to sign their petition to get on the ballot labeling of GMOs, sign it and wish them a good day and thank them for working the cause. Thank them. Yeah. Deep, deep breath, folks. Deep breath. Yeah. So I know this wasn't a loving kumbaya situation here, but, you know, I just felt it needed. I felt like if you love the planet, if you love your life, if you love anyone, if you love yourself, if you love your body, you got to fight sometimes and get educated and wake up. Wake up, people. And please send the message that you're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore. Otherwise, we're all going to be serfs to the big corporation. That's what Percy said. It's like we're going to be serfs. You know, we're just going to work the land for someone else that owns it because all the big corporations will. So, okay, I guess I'm done ranting. Are you awake, Brenda?
So you're taking deep breath there, right, sweetie?
Yeah, I feel like crying. I don't get angry very much, and
I know.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you that, you know, it was loving. It was tough love. And we all need tough love here and there. So it's the urgency that's coming across from what you're saying. And that's the most important thing because I think many of us are complacent. And a lot of us are complacent because we think in terms of, oh, well, you know, someday we're going to have to change things. And the way things are going in our government, it seems like, you know, everything's like, yeah, we're going to do this, you know, something that we think is urgent. They'll say, yeah, by 2020, we want to pull the men out of Afghanistan or something. There's always some date that's like so far down the road that even if they decided today we're no longer going to frack, they're going to have like some kind of crazy 6 or 8 year plan to stop it. So, so when the urgency that you're giving, what I think is brilliant about it is that it's getting people to understand this isn't something that you can wait, you know, 6, 10, 20 years to address. And the more complacent we are, the more they will continue to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you. Thank you. And that's, you know, that's the spirit. That's what I wanted to say. I definitely wanted to convey urgency because the more I read, the more urgent it becomes. And I must sign 20 things that go, you know, and I call my senator. In fact, I think they go, hi, Lydia. Not quite yet, but they're on their way. You know, I usually get different aides that take my call. But, you know, I mean, I always say, you know, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not mad at you, but could you please, put a bunch of exclamations when you're giving them this message because it means something to me. It's important, and I want you to hear me, and I may raise my voice, and it's not about you. It's about the passion that I feel about this subject. And I haven't gotten the same aid twice, but maybe because they go out and then they start fighting things on their own, which that's what I talk to the young people about. It's like, you guys, you know, you're young. Maybe you haven't figured out what your career will be. Now's the time. You know, but are we going to sit around? I'm a baby boomer. I know that some baby boomer friends of mine listen to me. You know, if you're not working right now, if you have the luxury of being retired, it's time to get involved, folks. It really is. And there's a lot of stuff. There was a march against Monsanto Day, and my son and his girlfriend marched, and it was down in Denver, or so I thought. I found out it was in Boulder, too. But I'm on their list, and now I get a lot of information from them and what they're doing, and I'm trying to organize people and trying to get the word out that we can't take this anymore.
Yeah. You know, there's the other thing to consider, and that is start manifesting, folks. And start putting the power of your intentions behind this movement. Just keep pushing it from your spirit and your belief systems. You know, even if you get passionately upset or if you sign all kinds of bills into action. Listen, you still need to put your mindset and your spirit behind that. And you know, manifesting can work just as wonderful wonders with the rest of the world as it can within your life. So don't get discouraged, even though it seems like the discouragement is how things, negative forces beat us out. The positive is that we know in our hearts that we are changing the world for the better and that we are going to overcome the negative type, I guess, people who don't care and don't think about anything more than money.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they wake up and realize that they're killing their own grandchildren and great-grandchildren, essentially their entire lineage, it might be a little late in the game, but we can go ahead and just keep sending that love out there to keep replicating it. No matter what your age is, I don't think it matters. Age doesn't mean anything to me, so I don't really care if you're young or old or whatever. In my opinion, it's just put that energy out there, you know, that you want to change the world for the better and, you know, for all of our health, especially our children.
Definitely. And then that brings it back to love. And that's, you know, that's what I'm all about, folks, is about the love. And yes, and I'm passionate about love as well as other issues, as we could tell. But yes, intention, you know, your intention to actually, you know, a small thing you can do that might take a little more of your time than you're used to, but is to really research candidates. And it starts at the lowest level, your city council. What do they think about fracking? What do they think about labeling GMOs? What do they think about GMOs? What do they think about clean energy? And we're not talking coal, folks. You know, coal folks, and nuclear, they're not clean. They never will be. They have consequences. Yes, we can use them, but there are other things that we can do. But research your candidates fairly carefully, and not just on one thing, not because they are going to build a parking lot that you've always wanted next to your favorite store, and that's going to make your life easier. But research on more of a global scale, and do it for, like I said, your immediate area and then coming up. I personally really want someone that is, there's some problems, and we need people that are going to be able to work on these problems and not say, well, we're going to work on them and we're going to give us 10 years. You know, we might need some tough love. Last president who tried to give us some tough love was Jimmy Carter. And I'm not talking about if it's a R or a D after a name, but he told us. He told us about the energy crisis we were going to have. Tried to tell us in the 70s when gas hit an all-time high. And we decided to invade countries instead. So, we need some forward-thinking people all across the board. So research, maybe if you're passionate, maybe think about running city council, anything, dog catcher, I don't care. I just want you to put out your intention, send love, and maybe that's a good thing. That will work, right?
Yes, yeah. Put that energy out there. I believe we can overcome the negativity with our spirits. We are spiritual beings living in a physical world, but that's no excuse to just decimate the physical world our spiritual beings are using to incarnate here, because there's other spiritual beings coming behind us.
Or we're going to come again. There's consequences to all choices we make, and you know, even little things like deciding not to, you know, I try to consolidate my car trips. I try to go out maybe twice a week to do. I do a whole circle around my little town of Boulder, and try and, you know, if I have to go to the Boulder Potters Guild, then I make sure that I go to the store and the laundromat. You know, I mean, I try and plot things out. Riding your bike. Boulder did a very clever thing. I'm, like, so glad they did it. First, I baz-fazed it, but I'm glad they did it. They actually outlawed plastic bags in Boulder. In a store, at a grocery store, they will not give you a plastic bag without you paying 10 cents. Now, 10 cents, well, I still see people carrying out their plastic bags. They don't mind the 10 cents, but that was just enough to get me to, if I forget my bags in the car, which I was doing, I walk back and I get my bags. My son goes, it's only 10 cents. I'm like, no, it's more than 10 cents. It's much more than 10 cents. So
yes, it is.
You know,
I hate those
little
bags.
I know. Because animals choke on, I mean, they're just, it's just not something that we need. So, you know, try and think of some little thing you can do if you are not as passionate or you're not there yet, maybe just doing one or two little things. And there's plenty of little things that you can do. So you can Google it and lots comes up, folks. Next week, I want to tell you that I am going to be talking about nurture with nature. So I'm going to do a 180, and we're going to talk about nurturing with nature. But in a way, it's kind of tied into what I'm talking about because you can't nurture with nature if there's no nature. So that it is tied in, and that will be at the same time. Then I'll go through the rest of the week. We have Sunday. Sunday is Linus's psychic hour with, is that 3 o'clock, I believe? Maybe I'll bring
it in. Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah, at 3 o'clock. She has moved her psychic hour to 3 o'clock on Sundays. And folks, if you haven't listened to Linus or called in, she will give you at least one question to ask, and you're going to get some answers. It's a very good show. I highly recommend it. Monday nights at 8 o'clock, this is Pacific time, so I'll say the Pacific time, is the LNB, Passage to Empowerment. And this week we are talking about, Nina, do you know? Or Brenda?
Yeah, it is, are you giving your power away?
Oh, yes, I forgot. Are you giving your power away? Yeah, we don't want to do that, and there's many ways that we do it. Some of them are a little insidious, and we might not even
know. And one of them is being complacent about things that are happening in our world.
Yeah, there we go. That gives away a lot of power. Exactly.
It sure does.
And it's the three of us that are going to be on. We are LNB of Passage to Empowerment. So tune in at 8 o'clock. And we go to Tuesday, and Tuesday is BYO Brilliance. Brenda, what are you going to be talking about?
The Brilliance of Exploring Your True Self.
I like that. I like that. And, you know, all of these shows, you can also listen to the archives. Say you're doing the dishes and you really want to look, you know, because doing the dishes might not be that much fun, or cooking dinner, whatever. You know, you can listen to any of our shows on the archives, and we have some really good ones. So you might want to do that. Let's see. And your show is at 6 o'clock, BYO Brilliance.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Yeah, 6 o'clock. And then Wednesday we go to In the Studio with Linus. Wednesday at 6 o'clock?
Seven
o'clock. So there's a little time variance, so you do have to look on our website. And while you're there, listen to an archive show. So, and then we go to Thursday, which is Filmcology, which is also with Brenda. And the film this week will be?
Well, it is on the anniversary of the murder of Medgar Evers, and the movie that we're doing is Ghost of Mississippi, which basically talks about the murder and the trial and everything that took place. So, yeah, it just so happened, folks. I mean, it was really sort of a weird spiritual thing how everything lined up, and I think there's some major reason for that. But hope you join me if you do nothing else all week. Nothing against my other radio sisters, but Medgar Evers did some incredible things for this entire nation, And I hope that you honor him and the horrific thing that happened to him and his family by tuning in. Try to get through Ghosts of Mississippi if you can again. I did. And join us. And if you can't get through, just, you know, show your support. You know, let him know on the other side that we're still working that direction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The positive direction. Yeah.
Very, always the positive direction. Moving forward, not backward or sideways, but forward. And then Friday we have
Classic Rock.
Classic Rock with Lennis, Traffic Jam.
Yeah. Traffic Jam. If you haven't listened to that, you're missing out because it is a good show. And Classic Rock, oh, that's after my heart. I hope I'm around Friday because I definitely would like to do that. And so that's the week.
That's at 5 p.m. Pacific time. So, yeah, stay tuned. Lennis has been rocking some pretty great shows lately. So get your weekend off right, folks.
Yeah, and that and she extending it to an hour now?
Yes, she is.
Okay, I see a caller on the line. Is this anybody you know, Brenda, or is this Lennis?
Me.
That's Lennis.
It is.
I wanted to say something to you, Lydia, how important your show is, that I want people to take it from this point of view. Have you looked at the diseases the last 20 years that these children did not have? We're seeing more cases of diabetes, heart disease in children young. What happened to PE? We're also seeing kids with high blood pressure. Are you kidding me? You're a child. You're supposed to get hot and cool down. So if it's not from us, then it must be from the food that these children are eating. We didn't hear about even juvenile diabetes was not anything that was even heard of back in the 70s. You know,
well,
so
if you watch that movie, Fathead, that I keep telling people to watch, that it actually tracks a lot of things like diabetes and all these other things. The trend rose with the trend of eating more grains, which wasn't our natural diet. So because there was a guy that, you know, said that that's what we needed, the government jumped on that and supported all this grain stuff. And it turns out that he's been proven over and over and over and over again to be incorrect. And so the government has funded ways to squash that information. So the pyramid that we normally use, the food pyramid, is not as healthy for human beings as they'd want us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's
true.
Because they're supplying the grain industry, which they're getting something out of it.
Which goes back to what Lydia's been discussing this whole hour.
Exactly.
It goes right back to the root of the problem, the seeding, what the seeds are. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there. Go back to what you guys, you were doing your schedules,
love
but I just
you.
Wanted to share that with Lydia, how important
love
it was.
You so much. I really appreciate you chiming in on
that. But it's the truth.
That.
Yeah,
it
but
is.
It's the truth.
I try to speak the truth, and the truth is I know it, so... You know, you can disagree with me, but I'd like people to call and disagree with me. I'm not talking about slinging mud or calling names, but I'm talking about let's have a discussion sometime, you know. And I might be talking about it. I listened to a gentleman who talked about how even the beef industry, you know, now we're on this protein kick. Every diet imaginable talks about protein. And he's more a nutritionist, and he's an MD, and he's not agreeing with that. So that could be a show in the future. I might have a few months. I might have a warrior show. I just might do a love warrior show on things because I like to rant sometimes. But yeah,
and the meat industry is another one that I want to see you cover. Yes.
Oh yeah. Well,
yeah.
He goes into it with all the antibiotics. They feed our meat. No wonder things are happening. That's all I got to say on that, because we are going to call it a day here. And I love you all, and I'm going to send all of you love. Thank you, Brenda, Nina, Lennis. I love you. And you know what? Do something really good for yourself, because that's what I'm going to go do. I'm going to end with my song. Love you guys. Thank you.
Love you, Lydia.
Love you, too.
Love you, Boo. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Wishing you a loving week. Thanks, guys.